Hello there, and welcome back to the Dental Practice Fixers Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Dr. David Maddo, and I want to tell you before I bring in my co-host today, I really appreciate you being a listener. Whether this is your first time or whether you've heard all 17 episodes, including this one, we really appreciate you. If you could do us a quick favor, if you have not done so yet, please just go to iTunes. Give us an honest review. It really does help. Every little bit helps. So if you have not done it yet, yes, you really matter. Go to iTunes, find our podcast, give us a review, give us a like, whatever you want to do. Give us 5 stars if you think it's a 5-star podcast. And without further ado, I'm going to bring in my co-host, my brother, my business partner, my best friend, Dr. Richard Maddo.
Wow. After that intro, I'm not sure I'm really up to the task, but I'm going to say, hey, everyone.
Actually, 3 out of the 4 of those were correct.
Okay, I'll figure out which one's later. Dr. Richard Maddo here. Thanks so much for that intro, Dave. It's so much fun to be on the podcast again. It's funny. I thought you were going to say whether this is your first time listening to the podcast or your last.
Say,
I hope it's not your last.
We hope it's not your last.
Be your last. So yeah, go give us a 5-star rating. You know, when you think about it, there are how many stars in the universe? Billions and billions and billions of stars. So if you give us a 5-star rating, it's not even that many stars. Out of all those stars, all we want is 5.
That's all we want.
It's not that much to ask.
It's a small percentage of the universe.
A
that's a great way to put it.
It's a very pointed percentage, 5-star rating.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we got some really cool stuff to get to today. I'm going to do our quick tip, and it's going to be really quick, but really valuable, and kind of builds on some things we've been talking about over the course of the podcast. But that is that it is great to be known as the dentist in your community. Unless you're in a tiny rural, easy for me to say. I've always had trouble with that word.
Rural.
Sound like, I feel like I'm like Astro in the Jetsons. You know, rural town. Unless you're in a tiny rural town and you're the only dentist, even if you're in a small town, there were a few other dentists. And it seems like, and Dave, I know we've both had this experience because our practices, even though we're Baltimoreans, we're in smaller suburbs of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And we both realized that the goal was to be known as the dentist in your town. I was in a small community called Millersville. You were in a slightly larger community called Ellicott City. And I wanted to be known as the dentist of Millersville. You wanted to be known as the dentist of Ellicott City.
I wanted to be, even more than my partner. I wanted to be
exactly.
Known as the. And
well, he never could be. Maybe he is now. I don't know. Good for him. Great guy, Steve. I haven't seen him for many, years.
No, you're bringing
years.
It back, right?
Hey, he's really, really good guy.
Like
I really liked him. So he's still in that location, cranking it out.
We think. Even positive. We think he is.
Anyway,
sure.
So the deal is, I know some people don't actually live that close to their practice, or they're kind of hermits like many dentists can be. And after you see your last patient, you just kind of shut yourself off from the world. But one of the ways to be the dentist of the community is to do all your local business around your practice, your banking, your dry cleaning, your restauranting, all the things that we do on a daily basis. Make sure that you do them as close to your practice as possible, and make sure that whoever you're dealing with, your banker, the person who takes the clothes into the dry cleaning, the pharmacist, whatever, make sure they all know that you're a dentist and that your practice is right down the street. And of course, it goes without saying, be friendly and warm and you know, kind of bring, don't go, hey, I'm a dentist right down the street. We're having a special whitening today. But when the time is appropriate, bring it up, invite them into your practice.
You sound like Mitch Arnowitz there.
A little bit. And also, it's great to support the local schools. I used to do, I don't know if they still have books in schools anymore. I guess everything's on the internet. But I used to sponsor the local book covers. I know some people do some things for the local school sports teams, jerseys and night guard. I mean, not night guards for sports, but mouth guards, all those things. Be a mensch in your community, and it doesn't even have to cost a thing. Just do things in your community to make yourself known.
And I'll add to this one thing. Make sure your team members are doing exactly the same thing. Let's say you have 4, 5, 6, 7 team members. Make sure they're all doing business locally around the office, and every single one of them has a business card with their name on it, and they hand them out like they're, like they just hand them out a lot.
They hand them out like business cards.
Like a lot of them, a lot all over the place.
Absolutely. It's just, something you should be doing anyway. But those kinds of things really go a long way. So some people call it ground marketing. It's like the opposite of electronic marketing. But we'll be talking about that more in the future. So, hey, that's your tip for the day. Dave, why don't we get into some really cool stuff for our listeners today? After all, it is episode 17.
It's 17. And we've got some questions, Rich. And by the way, we will try to answer almost all questions that are sent to us. So if you ever have a question, a comment, anything about the podcast, anything about the show at all, make sure you send us an email. That's the easiest way to get to us. And it is podcast@matto.com. And if you send to that, if you have a question, we'll try our best to get it on the show as long as it's a pretty good question. And here's the thing. We will keep your name we'll keep you anonymous by default. If you say to us, you can feel free to give my name, then we can add your name to it. But if you don't say anything, we will keep it totally confidential. I think we have two questions today, and they didn't say either way. So, Rich, we'll just keep these confidential.
Or we can say, like, it's from Dr. Elvis Costello. I always like doing that.
So, I think the first question
actually is from Dr. Elvis Costello.
How did you know that?
Just a lucky guess.
Ain't that a coincidence? Yeah. That's okay. So here's the question number one. So the question is this: my hygienist is great. Well, that's good so far.
Is that
right?
A question
that's
or a statement?
That's a statement. They're getting into the question. I think there's more. So my hygienist is great. I pay her $35 per hour, but I am struggling with something. She feels she should be paid her hourly rate for attending staff meetings. I feel this is a lot of money and not necessary. We have decided that we will let the dental practice fixers decide, and we will abide by your decision. You guys can be the judges. So
the pressure.
I like that. I mean, whatever we say, they're going to do. So, well,
I think she should be paid $300 per hour for a meeting.
I'm going to double that, $600. Wow. Plus throw a Bitcoin in every hour
and maybe a pizza. All right. Well, Dave, you read that question so beautifully. Why don't you give your opinion first? I have a feeling I'm going to agree with you.
Though. I have a feeling you might too. You know, as they say, Rich, I think this falls into the category. I don't want to like minimize the person because we really appreciate every question. But in my mind, it's kind of a dental no-brainer. So, Rich, I'm going to the first statement this dentist made is my hygienist is great. Okay, so we got to remember that he or she didn't say my hygienist is fair to middling or whatever. My hygienist is great, but she just wants to be paid her hourly rate when she's at a team meeting. I'm going to say pay her the damn $35 per hour. She's great. You said that. I'm assuming she's been with you for some time, but you want to keep her happy. Doctor, what are you thinking? Why would you even think there's a possibility of not paying her? That's my opinion. Pay her for her time there at your office, whether she's seeing a patient or whether she's in a team meeting that hopefully is going to be building your practice to make it better anyway.
I'm going to say, look at it this way. First of all, I totally agree that this hygienist is not fair. She's not Midland.
She's fair to Midland.
You hear people say fair to Midland.
What does that mean?
You never hear anybody say something is just Midland. So if the scale goes from fair to Midland, then something has to be just Midland. But do you ever say, hey, how's your car running? Midland.
Well, it's a spectrum. You're on the fair to Midland. I know what you're saying.
Midland's the top of the spectrum. If like something is good to great, then it can be great. It can be good. It can be in between.
You know, I'm going to start. If somebody says, hey, Dave, how are you doing today? I'm going to say Midland.
Exactly. Midland.
But do you know, what does Midland mean? Is that good or bad?
I think, and I'm not positive, I think fair to Midland is the way that they used to rank cotton back, and maybe they still do. Back in that was like the grade that cotton got, and fair was not a good grade. And Midland actually, I think, was pretty decent. So
fair to Midland.
I guess now that I'm saying this, someone's going to go Google it and prove that I'm completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's where the phrase came from.
And they're going to write to podcast@matto.com and say Rich was wrong, but you might be right.
That's Rich's answer was Midland.
Just from now on, anybody that listens to the podcast, if we see them in public, we're going to say, hey, how you doing? They're going to say Midland.
We're going to start this whole trend.
Midland.
We're going to start that. And also another trend I'd like to start is call it the drugstore chain CVS. Instead of calling it CVS, call it three letters.
I think you've already started that.
And say, hey, right? I've got to go to three letters tonight. Let's see if that takes off.
Yeah.
You're having a team meeting. Is this work? Yes. It's not time off. It's not vacation. It's not a break. It's work. Your team is working during a team meeting. Why would they expect anything other than to be paid? Now, I've heard some dentists say, well, the hygienists are the highest paid, so I'm going to pay them the same rate the assistants get during the meeting. I'm going to call BS
stupid.
On that.
Stupid.
Stupid.
Ridiculous.
That's so nitpicky, and it's not fair to the hygienist.
Why would you even like want to cause trouble like that, potential trouble? Right,
exactly.
That's ridiculous.
It's got nothing to do with it.
Stupid.
Pay your team members for the meeting. Pay them what they normally earn. Anything else is cheating them, in my opinion.
Let's take it to the next level. Now, the writer did not ask this question, but Rich, suppose he or she, I'm not going to even reveal who it is, but he or she is taking his or her team out of the office for CE, whether it's local or whether it's even traveling somewhere, TBSE, something like that. Do you pay your team members for that time?
We get that question all the time, and it's a really tough. I've got to say, I feel 100% strongly about the first answer about the team meeting.
Yep.
My answer to the CE thing, especially if it's a trip or travel, maybe a little bit of leeway. I still believe if you're taking your team to a course, they are working and they should be paid. After all, you want them to learn things in that course that will grow your practice and make you more money.
Exactly.
And you're not going to pay them for that?
So why don't we say this? So if it's a local course, let's say they're taking time out of the office for the day, they're going to a local course, absolutely pay them. Now, again, this is our opinion. You do what you want.
Pay them for the day.
Pay them for the day. But if they're traveling, let's just use TBSE as an example. They're traveling to
TBSE,
Vegas.
The best seminar ever, TBSE.com.
Exactly. Let's say they're traveling to Vegas. Well, I think you have to strike a deal. Like you're treating them to like it's like a true trip, and that's a little bit different. So I think you might have to make your own rules there. But I think you're not going to be paying them for every hour they're gone. Obviously, they're sleeping there.
Well, what if someone said, "Hey, here's how we do it in my office. See if you think this is fair. We pay for travel, we pay for air, we pay for hotel, we pay for all their meals. We even give them show tickets one night, but we don't pay them any kind of daily wage while they're there. What do you think about that?"
I personally think that's really fair.
I think it is too.
I do.
I agree. But again, if a dental practice was rolling in the dough and they wanted to be incredibly generous and pay their salaries for while they're on a seminar trip, good for them.
Yeah, but on the other hand, though, if you let's say you have an assistant, let's say your whole team is going, everybody's happy, you have one assistant, I'm just making this up, one assistant that says, "Oh, hey, that sounds really great, but I want to be paid for my time, for my daily wage while I'm there as well." I think in my opinion, what you just said, what you just expressed as far as like you're paying for
inferred.
Their travel,
right.
No, not more than inferred, right. But traveling, paying for their travel, their meals, maybe a show ticket here and there, whatever. That's a great deal, I think. So
I agree.
I think if you have a team member that's saying, "No, but I still want to be paid for my hourly or my daily," I think then I'd reevaluate. That team member could be a troublemaker.
They could be. But look, on the other hand, it's very possible. And I think we're not giving as clear of an answer on this because there are so many different situations. But look, that team member may have had to arrange for childcare. That team member, you know, may be missing out on some things because they're leaving home to take a course that will help them, but help your office
as well.
So all kinds of factors there. But I would say, I think it's fair to pay for travel, meals, show ticket, you know, little expenses just to, so they don't have, they certainly don't have to lay out any out of pocket money.
Nothing out of pocket.
As the great GT once said, nothing, zero out of pocket, and take the courses and have a great trip. And it should be fun for everyone too. They should bond and have a great time.
So I think we've given plenty of information here. Again, in the end, it's going to be your decision. You can do what you want. We just, you know, we give you the guidelines. We give you our opinions. And we've been doing this for quite some time. But then again, in the end, you got to make your own decision. You can make your own choices.
Yeah,
but
do what you want.
We got another question.
Well. All right. This is from who? Dr. John Lennon?
It's from, how did you know? From Dr. John Lennon. Man, you're like, you got it there.
I can predict the doc's name.
You definitely can. So, okay. Here it goes. It says, "We just had a new patient call and needed to come in today for a toothache. Our doc is at a seminar in Arizona. How should we have handled that call so we wouldn't have lost the patient? The doc does not have a doc we can refer to when she," so it's a she, "when she's out of town." Oh, so this is written from a team member. "The doc does not have a doc she can refer to when she's out of town. How do we handle the situation? We do not want to lose any patients, any emergencies that could be calling. What do we do?"
Wow, that's a great one.
It's a great question.
Let's back up for a second and say, first of all, if you're in a partnership situation or you have an associate, then this is a moot point because you should always have your practice covered.
Right.
Always.
Agree with you.
Unless all the docs are at a course together. Then you're back in this situation. So it could happen to a practice with more than one dentist.
So is it safe to say a practice, let's say the practice is emptied out for the day because either one doc is there and he or she is going to a CE course or everybody's gone for a CE course. Is it pretty safe to say that they should have somebody that takes call?
Absolutely.
A local doc, a friend, maybe a friend of the doc that is going to be fair and takes call. And a patient like this would see that other doctor just for the day.
I'll tell you what I did when I practiced.
Let's hear.
Before I had associates, because, you know, not that long after I started my practice, I always had coverage with my associates. But before I did, and this is really funny, I remember this to the day. It happened many, many years ago. But there was an oral surgeon nearby. The guy was a real character. And he stopped by my office like a week after I hung my shingle, as they say. And he said the same thing. He said, Rich, like, you don't want to lose any patients if you're out of town. So if you refer to that schmuck down the street, he's going to steal your patient, which he shouldn't because it's unethical. But right. Let's face it, they could go to the office down the street and really like that office and stay. So he said, I'll do all your call for you. I know I'm an oral surgeon. I'll re-cement temporaries. I'll triage emergencies. I'll do everything for you. You send all your emergencies to me, and I'll make sure I tell them how great of a dentist you are, and I'll send them right back to you.
Let me tell you something. Honestly, it sounds like a great deal.
It is a great deal.
Because I like the idea of sending to a specialist because they won't take your patient.
Yep. They won't take your patient. They'll bend over backwards to please you because they want your referrals. And you probably have a great relationship with some specialists in your area. So,
especially an oral surgeon would be like a great one. So how did it work out?
So I remember it was so funny. The first time I went out of town, I had a patient whose temporary came off, and they called him. And Carol sent them to Dr. G, the oral surgeon. And the patient came in the next week. I said, how Dr. G treat you? And she said, he was cementing my temporary. The whole time he kept saying, if the Board of Oral Surgery knew I was doing this, I'd be in big trouble. It's like, no. First of all, you wouldn't be.
Last time I checked, I think you're allowed to do that. I mean, he's a dentist. He's allowed to re-cement the temp.
That guy was a real character. He was a really funny guy.
But didn't he say something to you, I think, at one point? Like, you got him on the phone afterwards.
Rich, I bailed you out. Yeah. I bailed you out.
That was real nice.
I know. He was a character. But I think in most circumstances, I really do like the plan of referring to a specialist. Mm-hmm. You know, the problem is if you refer to an endodontist, every tooth gets a root canal. But
the temporary restoration came off. Let's do endo.
Exactly.
But I do like the specialist thing. It's good. Especially oral surgeon, periodontist. But oral surgeon seems to be maybe like the best.
I like the oral surgeon because I think they really can triage well also.
Right.
And, you know, they're more prone to have emergency hours and all kinds of stuff.
Exactly.
But a periodontist, an endodontist, anybody should be able to do this for you. Pedo. Why not? I mean, the patient might feel a little weird going to a pedo office, but any specialist that's good enough for you to refer to should have the skills to at least triage and prescribe or whatever for an emergency patient. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Certainly re-cement the temp.
I think it's adjust a denture. I like the idea much better than referring to the general dentist down the street because there is always a chance. Look, things happen. There's always a chance that the patient that goes, so look, I don't have any connection to Dr. Matt. I want to see you. So, and then it puts that other dentist in kind of an awkward situation. Right. So now, I do like the specialist.
If there is a general dentist that you want to refer to, you should have like a, what do you call it?
Agreement. Like an unwritten agreement or something like that.
Or even written. They're not written. Where you help each other out and you won't take a patient that way.
Right.
Now, you know, also, most emergencies are patients of record, so it's not really an issue. If a patient of record has to go see your colleague and then they decide to stay there, well, then you've got some big problems.
Right. The way this question was worded, I was assuming it was a new patient. But yeah, you can't tell. You really can't tell. But I think
it was a new patient also because they said they don't want to lose any patients.
Right. So this is a great – I think this will really help the writer. So writer, our friend, listener, hope you – John Lennon, Dr. John Lennon, as you said, of
imagine
course.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So – And again, if you have a question, please send it in to us. We'd love to see if we can help you out on the dental practice fixers. Okay. So how about if we do the call of the week, Rich?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling. May I help you?
Yeah, I've got a question for you. Are you seeing new dental patients?
Yes, we are.
Fantastic. Now, I just moved to the area. I was living in St. Louis for a bit, and I saw a dentist when I was there. And I know I need a bunch of work. I need like some crowns and some root canals. And she was talking about some implants as well. So it's a lot of stuff. It's I don't know, like $10,000 to $15,000 worth. Is that the kind of thing that you do in your practice?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Now, do you take insurance?
Yes, we do.
Great. Now, I'm not sure that I have insurance. It's a new job, and I know I have medical insurance. I'm not sure about dental, but if I didn't have dental insurance, would it be okay just to pay cash?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I mean, I just got, I just came into some money, so that wouldn't be a problem. Now, would I pay it all at once, or is that like, do you pay it over time? How does that work?
We usually do payments up front. We usually give our patients a discount if they pay all up front. And it just depends on how you want to take care of the payment.
Uh-huh. But if I want to just like write you a check for like $16,000, say, that would be okay?
Yes, sir.
Great. Now, do you see children as well? Because my wife and I have three kids. Actually, two of them are teenagers. I don't know if that's considered a kid. But do you see children also?
Yes, sir.
Great. And my wife is probably going to need an appointment too. So you do all that kind of, you do all the normal cleanings and fillings and x-rays, all those things?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for all the information. It's much appreciated.
You're welcome. Would you like to schedule a free consult to come in and speak with the doctor?
No, I'm still looking around. So let me get back to you on that.
Okay. Sounds great.
Great.
Thank you. If you need anything from us, just give us a call.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Ay, ay, ay.
We've heard worse. Let's just say.
Yeah. But
she was she was a little stiff too. I mean, she was nice. I thought she was a little standoffish.
She had a standard answer.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was calling the military base.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
You know, you should be friendly with every patient, not just one that needs tens of thousands of dollars worth of treatment. She wasn't like mean, but she was certainly rather, I didn't feel real
like,
welcome.
Like very matter of fact.
Exactly.
Kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Right. I don't know. It sounded like it was down south somewhere. Maybe that's the way they talk there, but.
Yes, sir. But, but I mean, let's face it. Okay. So you said basically you needed about $16,000 worth of treatment. You have three kids, a wife, and they all probably need stuff. So.
Right. We're talking over $20,000.
This is like a dream come true. Somebody that calls your office, like a dream come true, new family moving in. I don't know about you, Rich. I would go to their house and say, I'm going to bring a limo for your whole family to come over so you can see our office, and we're going to take you all out to dinner. I mean,
yes, 10-star treatment.
You know what I mean? I would do whatever it would take.
I mean, she was pretty much doing a very rote, R-O-T-E, very rote example of how to handle a call. She answered the questions with one word. She showed no enthusiasm, didn't say welcome to the neighborhood. Oh, you know, why did you move to Baton Rouge? Or, you know, what kind of job did you get? Where do you work? I can help you find out if you have insurance benefits. Welcome to the practice. The doctor's fantastic. We all see him or her as our dentist. Nothing like that.
And let's say let's say you're doing your due diligence and you were calling five different dental offices and kind of getting a feel for what they're like. Would this one stand out in your mind at all?
Well, it's kind of a cliche, but you're supposed to wow someone, and she did maybe the opposite of wowing.
Because I'm assuming if you're calling a bunch or several offices, there's going to be one that stands out. She was not the one.
No, absolutely
not. Now, here's another question. What do you think the doc thinks? Like, do you think the doc thinks she's doing a super job?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look, the doc told her, I'm just guessing, or someone told her, never let a new potential new patient off the phone without offering them an appointment. So if
then she did great.
If that's the only instruction she was given,
then she did fantastic.
She did it.
Then she got an A.
She got an A. She has no idea who $16,000 patient was, can never get in touch with that patient again. They vanished off the face of the earth.
I think you're actually minimizing it. 16,000 plus the whole family, 20-some, 30-some thousand.
The wife could be a meth mouth for all she knows.
She probably is. I have a feeling she probably is. So, I mean, this is a huge, huge new patient family that potential could come in. Yep. And it's just unbelievable.
She totally blew it.
So, grade?
F.
I have to give an F.
F.
She was fairly nice.
Here's another question.
F. F. Okay. No, the answer is F.
It's a yes or no question.
Oh, F. Okay.
It's a yes or no question.
What?
What letter comes after E? No, it's not a yes or no question. Does the doctor have any idea that a $25,000 potential patient just called and never scheduled and gave no contact information?
He or she will never find out. No idea and will never know.
Right. So I got to say, I just like Googled a random city and said dentist and went to this website. To me, the website is really beautiful. And it looks like they're paying somebody to have a tracking number on the website. And they're saying, well, we know where our patients come from. This patient lost and gone forever.
So that's a great point. So that tracking. So whatever marketing campaign they're using for that tracking number, whether it's like a Google web search or something, they're going to say it's not working.
I was going to say, you know, they're saying, oh, we got 10 calls from the website this week. Not one of them appointed.
That's another
web marketing
exactly.
must suck.
Horrible.
Well, no, that's not what happened.
Isn't that unbelievable? And doctor, if you I hate to doctor you, but if you so if you're if you think if you think you're different and no, my front desk person does it perfectly, just listen to all the calls. We do one every single episode, and Rich, it's extremely rare that somebody gets an A, a B, a C, or a D.
A C minus.
It's very rare.
I think there's no question that this doctor thinks he's got an ace at the front desk.
No question at all.
Here's what I'll say about that woman at the front desk, and then we'll wrap it up.
What's
unless
that?
You have another
no,
comment.
No, not really. I mean, I think we've said it all. We killed
I think
her.
With the proper instructions, she'd be good.
Yeah. She's got to be trained properly, yep. And it's got to be – it's not just trained one time. There's got to be constant training and constant follow-up, because you can't just tell somebody something or train somebody one time and hope they – it's got to be like ongoing.
And accountable. They have to be accountable.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, hey.
Great stuff.
Thanks so much, everyone, for listening to Episode 17, Season 1 of the Dental Practice Fixers Podcast. A lot of cool stuff came down today, so share with your friends. Let them know that the Dental Practice Fixers Podcast is the best dental podcast out there. We really appreciate you helping us grow. So, hey, this is I am, Dr. Richard Matto, your co-host.
I'm Dr. David Matto, and we will see you next time. She wouldn't die.